In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Steve Flores. It's a very helpful reading, isn't it? A bit strange, but a helpful reading. Particularly today, as we are meditating upon these mysteries of death. Just before this Mass, we had the funeral Mass of David Olasquez, and here we are offering this Mass for our brother Steve. Two souls who have gone on to meet reward. And our blessed Saint, Saint Ezekiel the prophet, what did he have our Lord show him? A plain of dead man's bones. And after seeing and counting the great number, God says, can they come back to life? What is Ezekiel's response? He says to him, Lord, you alone can know that. With that, we see Ezekiel saying, no, God, it's not possible the way that I can see it. But I know that everything is possible for you, Lord God. And so if you want it, I know that it will happen. So what do you desire? What are you able to do? And God reveals, and that's the very thing that he wants to do, but he doesn't want to do it on his own, but as God snapping his fingers or sending something directly from heaven in some sort of way and showing his awesome power. But what he wants and what he desires is for this man, Ezekiel, to participate in that act. God wants it to be done through his word. So he commands him to prophesy, and so it begins to happen. That the dry bones, who have nothing in them, take on flesh, sinews, everything that a body would have. And then it's lacking still one thing, which is life. God is the author of life, is able to do it. And he commands him again, you prophesy life. You tell this spirit that you are to go into these dead men and bring them back to life. And it will be done. And as he does so, they come back to life. But God says, I'm not talking about a random plain, a field of dead, dry bones. I'm talking about my people. One of the great struggles that we have today is that so many people have left the practice of the faith, that they themselves have become dry bones because they've not acted upon that faith. And so they feel that they are in desolation, they are at loss, and they don't understand why. And it's because they seek not God, and they don't allow him to reanimate them. And so they're walking around zombified in some way, so that they have bodies, they have sinews, but they attend not to their spirit, which is lost in dead of sin, not recognizing their creator. And so what is our hope then? Our hope is in God working through his prophets. Working through those who know the truth, speak the truth, and enact the truth into the world. God can do it. God can transform anything. Even those things that you and I see are dead or hopeless or difficult or impossible to be able to accomplish, God is all-powerful to be able to do it. But his desire and his plan in everything is not merely to work on his own, but he wants you and I to take part in it. You and I. You say to me, Father, look, here I am. I am a nothing. I just sit here. I keep to myself. I do my own thing right here. What can I do to make dead bones take on flesh, to have that dead, lifeless body, zombified persons who do not recognize their soul to come back to life? I'm just one who keeps to myself. Remember, you're more than you think that you are. From the very moment of your baptism, you were declared by God himself as a prophet. It means that you were called to speak his truth. And he's planted his very self, his word, deep down within your soul. And so what do you do to bring life, to participate in this act which God is calling? Just to speak forth that life that God has spoken to you. Ponder your life for a moment. Think of the moments of discouragement where you yourself may have been like unto the one spoken about here in Ezekiel. What are some of the things that God graced you with through a person, through an interaction, through the word of God, through a song, through whatever way in which God chose in the many millions and billions of ways that he can work on an individual soul? What was the thing that brought you to the place that gave you a semblance of life once again? Remember what that was? Well, that's the thing you're called to communicate. Share that in some sort of way with another who is in deadness, who doesn't recognize their worth, who's wandering about the world without life. Our Lord God says he wants to make us into ones who can call the dead back to life. Indeed possible. We do that for those who have died in Christ through our prayers, calling them to life through the prayers which the church gives, this Mass, but also through the rosary, sacrifices, and things which we know we can do. But for those who are merely spiritually dead, though they do have physical life within them, biological life, to remind them of those things through our own personal witness, things that brought us back to life. It's not merely entirely possible, but absolutely, or probable, but it's indeed probable because God desires it. Today, as we enter into this great feast day of St. John Eudes, what should we be reminded about his life? It's a man who had so many graces visited upon him throughout his life, who was constantly at work doing God's will, but why was he able to found so many religious orders, or to be able to set up so many religious institutions for the care of the poor, the disadvantaged, all throughout his life? It seems like he was a whirling dervish or a tornado of energy, just spinning about. What was his ruah, or what was his, that's the Hebrew word for spirit and life. What was his life-giving force? Is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It was the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He's so dedicated to those two hearts, was constantly able and strengthened to be able to endure all things because he placed all his cares, his sorrows, his distresses, even his joys and gladnesses into their hearts. He offered everything to them. And because of that, he always had more than enough, not just for himself, not just for those who he was co-laboring in ministry, but for those who had no life within them, to be able to call them indeed to life. You and I can take note of this, to do the same. You see, at the time of St. John Eudes, there was no feast of the Sacred Heart. There was no feast of the Immaculate Heart. St. John Eudes was the first one to propose for the truth, yea, though through divine inspiration, through the visions that God had given him, that it was the will of God Almighty that these feasts be celebrated by his church here on earth. But he was the first one to seek the establishment thereof. And so it's because of him that we have such great flowering of devotion to those hearts, which are the refuge of men and women, just like you and I who are here, to take comfort in that. So St. John Eudes can spur you and I to a greater strengthening. And after this Mass, at the conclusion of thereof, we'll pray those beautiful salutations to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which we have at the back of the church. And even though if you don't have them with you right now, I will lead you in them. They're easy enough to be able to follow. But I want to share with you something of the spirituality of St. John Eudes, reminding you of something that he speaks about and how it is that we can fulfill this great commandment of God. What it means to really love God above all things, and then in turn to be able to seek the best for our neighbors, whether living in the flesh or those who are living eternally in God and still require your and my help in the church suffering in purgatory. This is what he says, St. John Eudes. He said, "We shall never be able to understand adequately the esteem at its full value, the inconceivable grace of our Lord, which he has granted us through the gift of his divine heart." Let us picture someone who was such a favorite of a king that he could truthfully say, "The king's heart belongs to me." What happiness and joy to be so favored. But we have infinitely more than the heart of an earthly king. We have the heart of the King of Kings, who loves us so ardently, so intensely, that each one of us can truly say, "The heart of Jesus, it belongs to me." Yes, this admirable heart is mine. And it is mine because the Eternal Father has given it to me. It is mine because the Blessed Virgin has given it to me. It is mine because he himself has given it to me, not only to be my refuge and shelter in my needs, but to be my oracle and my treasure, but also to be the model and rule of my life and of all of my actions. What happiness and wealth to possess the divine heart of our Lord Jesus. What a treasure to have at our disposal. How great is our obligation, O my Savior, because of your incomprehensible goodness. You ask the Eternal Father to make us one with him and with you, as you are one. Consequently, you wish us to be one in heart with you and with your adorable Father. You have made us children of your Heavenly Father, and you have given us your divine heart so that we may love the Father with your very own heart. You have assured us that the adorable Father loves us even as he loves you. You love us with the same heart with which the Father loves you. The Scripture says, "As the Father has loved me, also have I loved you." Thus you give us your heart that we may love the Father and yourself with the same heart and with the same love with which you love us. O my Savior, extend the power of your eternal arm to separate me from myself and unite me to you. Pluck out my miserable heart and replace it with your own, enabling me to say, "I will give praise to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will praise you and love you, my Lord, with my whole heart, with the great heart of Jesus, which is my own heart. O all-lovable and all-loving heart of my Savior, be the heart of my heart, the soul of my soul, the spirit of my spirit, the life of my life, and the sole principle of all of my thoughts, words, and actions. These are the words of St. John Hughes. It reminds you and me to be lost in the love of God, to be lost in his heart. And particularly when you and I don't think we have one more bit to give, we don't have to worry about it. Because it's not our heart that we have to love God out of, not our heart that we have to love our neighbor out of, despite the indignities which they broach against us day in and day out. What is our heart? Our Lord Jesus has given us his heart to love. That's that heart which is before us so constantly, right here next to our altar. That immaculate heart that we know in the end will triumph over all things. So in your weakness and mine, as we enter into these mysteries today, wondering what life there can be within my soul or within my community or within my family, the life that God gives, he gives us through his own heart. And his heart is not that which is distant from you and me, but is actually what he placed within you and me, that we can do all things in him, through him, with him, in every which way, all to the glory of his most holy name. St. John Hughes, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.